Well, mankind, now when I use the term mankind, I'm talking about the unregenerated mankind, the man in the street, every human being. So mankind, or the carnal man, always struggles with the purpose of life. There's an author whose name is Viktor Frankl who wrote, "Life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by the lack of purpose or meaning." And that speaks directly into the heart of mankind. And that is the fate or conundrum of every man and woman on the face of this earth. You know, you think about it. 70 to 100 years for what? And why? And is that it? Surely that can't be all. So this is why mankind has always been on a quest for longevity. Mankind has always tried to find the fountain of youth or the secret to immortality. There is a hunger in mankind for more than what we see. And this is why. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us clearly, and it says, "He has made everything," being God, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds." So God has purposefully planted an eternal glimpse or shadow or deep, deep understanding in the heart of all mankind. You can't quite see it or define it, but it's there. And it affects the way we think as a carnal man. And this is, I believe, what causes the tension and restlessness of the purpose of mankind. We perceive something in our heart that we just do not see. Because all we see and understand is perishing. 70 to 100 years, then death in everyone around us. That's mankind's reality. Everything around us is living and dying. Everything we see is subject to decay, moth and rust. So as we sit here this morning, no matter how well we've polished our car, they are rusting in the car park. This building, we look around, we go, yep, looks okay. 100 years from now, it's highly unlikely it'll even be standing. Everything we deal with, everything we see, everything we eat, everything we touch is subject to moth and rust, to decay and to death, should I say. And that is a product of sin and the fall of man. But at the same time, we have a sense, this sense, deep within us of eternity. placed there by God. No wonder mankind is restless, right? Or it doesn't make sense. Or there seems to be fruitless and purposeless and all those things. Because eternity has been placed in the heart by God, which is contrary to all we see or experience in this life. That is why mankind grapples with purpose. It causes us to search for answers in religions, in philosophy, in natural endeavors. That's why mankind is so fixated on personal legacy, making your mark, having something named after us, being remembered into the future, because the future is stamped in our hearts, but we don't know how to get there. We don't know how to achieve that. You know, 80 years is just not enough. So that also creates a void that cannot be filled in the natural by escapism, by addictions, by depression, or even suicide. Look around you. You'll see this at work constantly. This is the nature of the world outside that door. It's just how it works. But we have a sense of eternity in us that is greater than our natural lives can contain. When we decide, remember that word, when we decide to give our lives to Jesus, we are instantly connected to the eternal. That eternal ache in our hearts finds expression and rest. So we go from natural decay, moth and rust, in this deteriorating vehicle, to eternal purpose and destiny in Him. That ache in our spirits can be satisfied. So in Jesus, we, you, transition from playing the short game, 70 to 100 years, to playing the long game, eternal purpose. That changes things. That transition starts with a decision by you to accept His eternal promise. Because now, through becoming a son of the eternal Father, longevity and legacy, an eternity, is in your DNA. You are a son of the Father who lives eternally. Now, is this starting to make sense? Is this okay? When I was preparing this, I'm going, far out. Sounds okay to me. We are a new creation. We've been taken out of the realm of decay and moth and rust to the realm of eternal destiny and future and hope. That's a big shift. Takes a lot to get your head around. In fact, it'll take you 70 or 80 years to get your head around that. Legacy is something handed down from generation to generation. So your little by little endeavors take on an eternal value. The impact of your actions, character, or achievements are left after you. See, legacy basically means for something to continue past who you are, past your opportunity to meddle in that thing, past your input into that. You know, in computers, they talk about running legacy programs, which were programs that were probably designed in the 90s and 2000s, but still have value, so they still run them. Legacy is something that continues past their normal usefulness and into the future to bring blessing to other people. And you have a legacy. Connected to Jesus Christ, we have legacy. So legacy is something that is handed down from generation to generation, so that your little by little endeavors take on eternal value. So in practicality, if you try and outwork this on the ground, giving into a building offering or a legacy offering like we had last week or the other week, a couple of weeks ago, suddenly makes sense because it has eternal value and builds legacy. Is that okay? Yeah. So having a large family of disciples to build legacy suddenly makes sense because it continues long past you do. So having lots of kids that you disciple makes very good sense. I've learnt a lot about that from the Staggers. Starting a home group makes sense then, because what you're doing is you're building disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, so that your little home group will be affecting the generations after and after and after you. This is legacy. And you can choose to make legacy decisions with your life, or you can choose to live in moth and rust. Planting a church, that's a legacy decision. Now, 50 years from now, Ascend Church will most likely still exist. But Pastor Jason and Pastor Olivia, they might still be involved. They may not be. But Ascend Church, because it is a legacy that has been formed by us, by you and I, will still be making disciples into the future. Yes. Look, you imagine some of the churches in Perth. You know, when I was a kid, I used to go to Wesley Church in the city. Okay, and I never really connected to that as a person, but I went there as a kid, and you know what, that's like 60 years later, they're still doing church on a Sunday morning. They're still ministering the gospel. They're still praying for people. They're still changing lives. That's legacy. Understand? How about Riverview? I gave my life to the Lord in Riverview Church, in that same building, 38 years ago. Now, a guy named Brian Baker started that church a long, long, probably in the 70s, and he probably didn't realise that in 2025, it's still there making disciples. This is legacy. In 2005, Denise, my wife, Dan, my son, and I, we moved back from New South Wales, we're West Australians, to start a church. And in 2025, this year, that church is still making disciples led by disciples that we made. So hopefully it's still going to be making disciples long after I have gone. So was that a good decision? That's legacy. You know, that's also legacy for all those who built with us. And my involvement, personal involvement with Ascend Church today, yesterday, next week, whatever I build here will become part of my eternal legacy. And whatever you build here will become part of your eternal legacy. Legacy is remembered in eternity. So what's worth doing? So was it worth me taking 11 years of my life, which I tell you, it wasn't easy, it was hard, 11 years of my life to plant and pastor a church which I'm no longer involved in? Yes, it was the best thing I ever did. Because still making disciples. And it'll still be long gone after I'm gone. 100 years from now. You know, I still have people who contact us or we bump into in the street that say, man, that Midcoast, which his church was called, that was the best season of my Christian walk. And that's 15 years since we stopped doing that. Legacy. See, as a pastor, just a bit of a side thing, as a pastor of that church, I learnt a lot about shared legacy. You know, we would do an event or we'd have a service and I'd get up and preach, people would get saved, and then afterwards I would celebrate with God about those salvations. But God reminded me regularly that I shared that legacy with everyone involved. The people who prayed, the people who invited, the people who welcomed, the people who set up. I shared that legacy with them. So everything you do as a part of Ascend Church in 2025 is connected eternally to the legacy that we are creating together. Does that make sense? So the flip side of this is if you've been involved in a previous church that maybe you've sown and you've sown and you've sown and it seems like you've got nothing back from and they've treated you badly and maybe in the end you've left having a problem, you've still created legacy because that a legacy exists in heaven. That wasn't fruitless, that was powerful. Wherever we serve, whatever we build, okay? Matthew 6:19 says this, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal." Okay, so that's the short game, the temporal. 100 years from now, it'll be gone. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He made a really big point of saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Lay up for yourself. Seems a bit selfish, and I know that's not our motivation, but this is what Jesus is telling you to do. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This scripture encourages us to think long game. Now, doing or playing the long game is a golf expression. I don't play golf. I'm really bad at golf. But so what it's encouraging us to do is rather than chip around the green, we're encouraged to go out to the fairways and long drives down that fairway, because we're dealing with eternity, not 70 to 80 years. Is that okay? To be building legacy in everything and everyone around us is God's purpose. So having this eternal perspective will alter your priorities. And your priorities are made by your choices. So using your will to align your life, your actions with God's eternal will is a believer's primary priority. And the way we do that is by making decisions based on eternal values. You still with me? Have I lost y'all? Some blank faces. Your decisions are very important to God. And the value of your love for Him is found in your free will to make those decisions. See, God could have created a created being that loves Him, that worships Him, doesn't sin, is perfect, just gives Him glory all the time and just extols His magnificence non-stop. But you see, that has no value. He needed your love, your choices, your worship, your decisions to be given from your free will, your choice, while living in this pain and tension on this life on earth. Then it has value. See, if you look closely, this is how salvation works. He will draw you. He will guide you. He will even send people around you to influence you. But ultimately, the decision to give your life to Jesus is made by you. I don't remember, but my mum kept telling me when she was alive that at 8 years old, I went to her one day and said, I believe that God has a plan for me. At 8 years old. Now, I was 26 years old before I gave my life to Jesus. So that's a big gap, right? It's probably a lot of wasted time. But it took me that long to make my own decision. I had the opportunities. I'd seen altar calls. I'd had the opportunity. People had talked to me. I'd had lots of opportunities. But it wasn't until I was 26 years old that I actually made the decision. And that's what God is looking for. And my experience has been that in all the decisions I have made to live according to His will, He has joined me in that decision and empowered my ability to change. But I first needed to make that decision. Okay? So if we were considering this morning, little by little, transformation, the decisions we make along the way are vitally important. Let me give you an example. I think Pastor Jason actually mentioned this last weekend. And this is a decision that Denise and I made many, many years ago. We decided this, that unless we were away on holidays or sick, we attended church every Sunday. Now, that was a life decision that is aligned with God's will and purpose, right? what that does is it takes away the weekly decision of, are we going to church this Sunday? So if you make a life decision, I'm just using this as an example of how this works. If you make a life decision that I go to church every Sunday, then when I wake up on Sunday morning, I'm not going, oh, will I, won't I, will I, won't I? No, no, I'm just going to church unless I'm away or sick. So that removes the question. Our son, he used to wake up Sunday morning, he didn't go, hey, are we going to church this Sunday? I don't think he ever asked us that question, because the question was never on the table, because the life decision had been set by Denise and I. It was a decision we made to align ourselves with God's will and purpose. Then the decision didn't have to be made again. Okay, you got where I'm going with this? So if we've already made a decision, when temptation comes, we've already decided. You know, I've used this process, or this process of making life decisions, for my own transformation and growth for many years. Decided that church attendance, every Sunday unless we're sick, it away. Settled. Don't have to make that decision again. Life decision two, giving. We tithe. We don't even think about whether we're tithing. We just tithe because it's a life decision I made. It's been settled. Whatever church we're in, we serve because that was a decision that we made. That's settled. Offences, made a decision a long time ago about how I deal with offences. That's settled. So when I get offended, I don't have to struggle in this question of oh, should I be angry? Should I punch? Should I, what should I do? It's settled. Already made the decision. I made a decision that I do not do pornography. I made a decision about sexual thoughts and fantasies. Settled, done. Okay, every time that wants to creep into my mind, I've already made the decision. How I treat my wife, settled, done. How we disciplined our son, settled, done. It was always the same. I've made decisions on how I treat people, always the same, settled, done. And they're aligned, those things, those decisions, with God's eternal plan for my life. You see the value of making some really good decisions that are life decisions, and we just stick to them. So I plan to live by these decisions till I go to live with Jesus. And the power of those decisions is when I get tempted, I've already made the decision. And like I said, God comes in on those decisions. When we make decisions aligned with his will, he wants to help us with that. He'll empower us to pull those things off. We're not doing it on our own. You know, it's easy to be deceived in the middle of a temptation if you haven't already made the decision to stand. You're going, oh, what? Oh, well, yes, no, oh, maybe. Oh, no, I lived in that for years. But if you're not choosing how to handle the situation by being, while you're being assailed by temptation, certainly makes it a lot easier, okay? It's already settled. And his power is available. Now, keep this in mind. If you fail, and you will, as I have, don't wallow around for the next 2 weeks thinking that how sinful you are and how you failed and how it's such a disaster. Just repent and get up and return to the original decision. Because the original decision has already been made. And one thing I have learned is the original decision isn't altered by your success or failure. It's set. Win or lose. Fail or win. When making life's decision, I would suggest this. And look, what I'm suggesting this morning is making good life decisions that will keep you on track for the rest of your life. I'm talking about making a decision that is well aligned with God's purposes for your life. And it's easy to find those things out. What are God's purpose? What is God's will? My decision to go to church every Sunday, that's a scripturally based decision. My decision not to look at pornography is a scripturally based decision. My decision, all of our decisions to decide these life things, we find in Scripture. So you can find the answers to your own questions. But I would suggest maybe making your life decisions this way. So have a think about what God's saying you needs to change. And you can go on through your life making more and more of these life decisions. And I tell you, it gets better and better and things get easier and easier because you're not pulled around by all this moth and rust that's going on around you. It just gets better and better. So pray and ask God. And then when you're ready, don't leave it too long, sit down with communion emblems. A little bit of cracker, a little bit of juice, representations of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and make a covenant with God. Now, a covenant is different from an arrangement or a contract because an arrangement and a contract have a duration, where a covenant doesn't have a duration. It's just a life decision, just for the rest of your life. Sit down before God with communion and say, God, I'm deciding today to do this. Please help me, Lord, with this decision. Please help me with power to continue this. Please help me, Lord, with your strength. But when I fail, give me your strength to get back up again and just straight back onto that same decision. Just help me, Lord, and then take the communion. There are some decisions that need to be made now, that God's already spoken to you about. In fact, I'd be prepared to bet there's a room full of decisions that God's already spoken to you about. They need to be set. They need to be established. See, the word says that we are transformed into his image. Now, transformation doesn't happen instantly. It's our transformation is gradual, and it's a process, and it continues and it grows. And the more we learn about that growth and that process, the better we are at making those decisions and that transformation coming. So it's time to make some good decisions. Amen? Just like the team to join me if that'd be okay. But there are other decisions that he will show you on the way as you go. Because life changes, circumstances changes, your temptations change. I know mine have. You know, things differ. And there'll be different temptations that are in your path that God maybe needs to make for you to make some decisions about. Remember, we are talking about incremental change that builds godly transformation. This is a line upon line. This is gradual transformation over the rest of your life and into eternity, so that you can build a legacy here that you'll take into eternity. And I realised once that there's not much that I can do for Jesus. When I get to heaven, what am I going to give him? He's going to give me everything. He's going to give me everything, everything. What can I give him? All I can give him 70, 80, 90 years. And what I've done with those 70, 80, 90 years. What legacy are we building? We have a very, very small window of opportunity to build something for Jesus. It passes like that. I'm in my mid-60s, and I tell you, I can remember when I was 8, and it seems to have gone like that. And it's been my only, and will be my only opportunity to give something to Jesus that he hasn't given me. I mean, that I can give. And it's little by little, line by line, incremental changes and decisions to serve him and to become more like him.